You're listening to ListCast. If you'd like to reach us, you can email us at listcast5@gmail.com, or you can alternatively reach us at our website, post comments, or give suggestions for top five lists at listcast.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show.
All right, welcome to ListCast. I'm Josh. With me is
Justin.
And today our topic, our list, is top five movies with artificial intelligence and or robots in whatever form.
Yeah, whether it be a computer or, you know, on a laptop or a computer with legs, anything.
Mm-hmm. This was Justin's topic idea, so we're going to let him start off today with his number five.
All right.
What do you got?
I know that for whatever reason you seem to have a hard time compiling this list, but I had so many options that...
No, I didn't have a hard time. It's just like, what am I going to say about it? There's a robot in it.
I don't know.
She's not a robot. She's a woman.
She's not a robot.
She's a robot. I'm a robot. Like a robot.
All right. I did try and kind of rank these because I'm saving a couple of them for last. I'll say right off the bat, aside from my number one, which I have a sneaky suspicion may end up as your number one, I'm going to try and surprise you with these.
Well, you never know. You thought I would have time after time on my list.
That's true.
And I didn't.
But I'm going to try and surprise you. My number five is Vincent from The Black Hole. This is 1979.
Is that one of the little box robots?
Yeah, not the big bad red robot.
No, the box robots are from Silent Running.
You mean
the floaty robots.
Yeah, I'm talking about the floaty
robots. We gotta save the forest. The forest. You gotta save the forest.
The beautiful forest. But anyway, this is Vincent from 1979's Black Hole.
Is he the one that gets damaged? There's only one of the robots survives. I remember that.
Yeah, the older one dies.
The damaged one lives, right?
Vincent is the one that comes with them to the spaceship. They encounter another version of, you know, that model. And he does not make it. You know, he's the Western one.
Right.
You gotta go, partner, save yourself.
It's been a long time since I've seen The Black Hole.
Roddy McDowell's voice is kind of synthesized and tweaked, but he's so cool. I want to say he's probably like 2 feet tall. Yeah, as you said, he floats, he hovers.
They are a cool design.
They are. It's a very simple. It's almost like a ball, but it's almost like a squished down ball. And then the head kind of comes out the top. It's got these big... almost goofy, simple eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
He's got these little arms, like tool arms kind of a thing. But he's got spunk, this robot. He's almost like what R2-D2 would be like if he could talk.
Have you seen The Black Hole recently?
No, I haven't.
I'm wondering if it would still stand up.
I've seen it recently enough. A lot of it is kind of corny, but it's got heart.
Who's the flashy black hat?
STAR, Special Troops Arms Regiment. Reinhardt's prototype for the sentry robots. He was number one until Reinhardt built Maximilian.
He's sharp, but we're sharper. Did you ever go up against him?
Once.
What happened?
I beat him. He got so upset he blew a fuse. He had his revenge, though. He did things to me that I sure don't like to think about.
What do you think about Maximilian?
The simplicity of design. Maximilian is still fucking scary.
Yeah.
Because Maximilian doesn't talk. Maximilian, for anyone who doesn't know, has a very kind of humanoid shape. He's all, you know, metal or steel or whatever. But he's got arms and legs. But he still hovers. And he just kind of floats around.
And he's kind of like a maroon color.
Yeah, he's this kind of maroon
like
color.
Devil
and he's
red.
Got this, like, RoboCop type eye, you know, thing. Kind of like Kit. That goes,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Whoa, whoa. And when his head turns, it goes, and he makes no noise other than that. And he's just so damn intimidating. And his arms, you know,
yeah,
come out.
There's robots all over that ship.
Yeah, they are. But yeah. But anyway, I'm talking about Vincent here.
Okay.
Vincent, I'm going to check my notes here, actually stands for something. It's an acronym for Vital Information Necessary Centralized. Does that work? Scent is supposed to be the Vincent part. Scent realized.
Okay.
But anyway, Bob is the...
Western.
Is the Western model.
Okay.
Do you remember Vincent?
I remember.
I just think Vincent is so cool.
Yeah, I'm.
And the fact that he, even R2-D2.
It's a good choice. I may have chosen that myself, right, if I could remember anything about the black hole except for the robots themselves.
Right, right.
But I don't remember anything from that movie. It's been
long. R2-D2, obviously, you know, at least in some parts, has a little person inside. And you know that a human being could be in there,
yeah,
creating the performance. This, not even close. This is, you know,
could be a midget with no legs.
No, this is not even room for that. This is a genuine robot in some fashion. And the human traits assigned to him are done either through these very simplistic eyes or the voice. And I always loved Vincent when we watched The Black Hole.
Well, they were my favorite characters, too, in that movie.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my number five. Let's just hear your number four.
My number five.
That's what I meant.
My number five is from Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie.
What? Crow?
Crow T. Robot and Tom Servo.
So you're doing a twosies for this?
Whatever,
I guess that's fair.
Well, there's also Gypsy, but he's never in the theater with Mike Nelson.
Okay.
Now, this is a very nerdy choice because it's a very nerdy movie, nerdy show. But at a time in my life, although I'm still a fan of MST3K, I was a very huge fan of the show. I bought all the box sets.
Oh, I remember.
I would watch the movie over and over again. It was the funniest thing ever to me.
Well, it's still funny.
It's still funny. I'm not, but, you know, I don't watch it as religiously as I used to. But there's robots in it, and the robot puppets.
That's cool. No, that's true.
And they have, you know, surly personalities.
They do. You're right. They absolutely qualify. I would never have thought about them, but that's an interesting choice.
Well, when I was compiling the list, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I bet Justin won't even think about this.
When I looked up to find, you know, movie robots, I never saw them listed, ever.
Well, they wouldn't count unless they made a movie, and they did.
Well, they did, yeah. So.
She's drunk again.
Das Essen war ausgezeichnet, aber nach der herrlichen Musik von Mozart muss ich ein bisschen mit mir allein sein. Guten Abend.
Whatever.
What do you think of Mr. Mozart, Exeter?
I'm afraid I don't know the gent.
I'm not an alien!
My mind must have been wandering. Your composer, of course.
Our composer? He belongs to the world.
Mm. Yes, indeed.
I'm not an alien.
The dinner, Exeter, was even more perfect than you promised. Now, if you'll excuse me, I could do with some fresh air myself.
He's going to get high.
Would you care to join me, Dr. Adams?
No.
You, Dr. Carlson?
It's your turn to walk the cal.
Why don't you? Show him the grounds.
I dare you.
We won't start cracking the whip on Meacham until tomorrow.
Then I ram my ovipositor down your throat and lay my eggs in your chest. But I'm not an alien.
Although every show kind of is a movie, but...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. But that's really all I have to say about it.
Okay.
There's not much to add because there's not a lot of substance to it.
They're funny, though.
They're just wisecracking robots.
Robot puppets or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. I can get into that. That's an interesting choice.
What's your number four?
All right. My number four is Ulysses from Making Mr. Right.
Okay. I have that as an alternate on my list.
I thought you might, but I wanted to kind of, I guess, make you smile.
Yeah, there's one of those lost movies from the 80s.
Yeah, I know. This is 1987. The character of Ulysses is played by John Malkovich. Ulysses is a robot, an android, specifically.
I wonder what Malkovich would say about that if he's ever asked. He's like, hey, man, do you remember making a movie called Making Mr. Right when you were an android? I wonder if he would be proud of it.
I just don't know what you're talking about. I have a soft spot for this movie. I think you do, too, because we grew up with this movie.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for it, but...
It's a fun movie. Some of it doesn't hold up. Some of it doesn't. You know, the notion, the plot that he created, John Malkovich's actual character is named Dr. Jeff Peters. And
yeah, he's very isolated.
He's extremely
isolated. Tinkerer.
No social skills whatsoever. No. He creates an
android. No social skills, but he's also rude and crazy.
He just has no need and no desire for people. And he creates an android, ironically, I guess you could say, in his own image. This android is then supposed to go
into deep space
on some sort of mission where he will not need human contact, and that's why they need, you know, an android,
right?
But they need it to be as Needed to be as limble, and they needed to be a human just without the soul and without the need for human
comfort. But an interesting thing about that, you know, didn't Malkovich, his scientist character, he wanted to attribute a lot of personality traits to his rope, to his android, that he didn't have, but he felt he was lacking.
Oh, Ulysses, what are you doing here?
Standing. That's what I do at night.
That's it? You don't read or watch television or multiply six-digit numbers?
No.
Ulysses, why are you staring at me like that?
Because you taught me to, and because I think you're attractive. I think you're the most attractive woman I know.
I'm the only woman you know. But thanks, Ulysses, that's nice.
You're welcome.
But he's a child. So he's experiencing everything for the first time. And he's really he's Data. Yeah. He's really Data. That's exactly what Data is. He's just a funny Data. He's a Data who's allowed to kind of do all this funny shit.
Like, didn't the scientist equip him with so he'd be very well endowed? Like, he wanted him to have confidence.
Well, of course, if you're going to build an anatomically correct version of yourself, you're going to juice yourself.
I haven't seen the movie in a while. I remember a few things about it. Wasn't there a scene when he's at somebody's house or a party? And his body gets turned around?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a scene where he's going to, like, do it with a girl or something. Something happens and he falls off the bed or something like that. And either I think it's his head that gets fully twisted.
Is that
around.
What it is?
I think it's just his head.
Okay.
But he's perfectly cool. He's just talking like there's no problem. And, of course, everyone's freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a fun, you know.
Well, the thing I remember most about that movie is really doesn't have anything to do with the movie. It's the end credits. That song, Happy Together, montage of space images. And that, I always liked that credit sequence, and that really what made the movie stick in my mind.
I think it's a fun movie. Like you said, it's kind of forgotten, you know. And it's a shame, because, I mean, Malkovich was good back then. And he was certainly a little more, I want to say, light-hearted. You know, the fact that he was even willing
definitely
to do something
less
like this.
Serious. You know, he was more willing to
play.
Yeah.
Definitely. Not that I don't like the stuff he's done.
You
now.
See that happen with a lot of actors in their careers.
Sure, I know. Nick Cage is a perfect
example. The first one I always think of. He used to be funny.
He used to be great.
Or Val Kilmer.
He
made a lot of funny movies. He was goofy, and now he's always serious.
Yeah, I know.
And I miss that. I want him to be funny again.
I agree.
You know, I want him to be like the character in Real Genius or in Top Secret, because he was funny. He was genuinely funny.
I know. And you know it's still in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, Val. Peel away that extra 100 pounds you've got, and he's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's not astringent to say, like, Sean Penn, who won't talk about being Spicoli.
Whatever.
It's like, whatever, that made you. Come on, that made you.
I know, that dude, you're a household name because of that. Yeah, get over yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're an actor.
That should just be a tribute to you of your acting skills that you're able to pull off.
He won't talk about Spicoli?
I don't think he likes to talk about it.
What an asshole.
Well, isn't he just also serious all the time?
Yeah. He's got his political views and all of that, and he's always trying to push that. And that's fine. But
think about him. Do you ever see him smile in any of his movies? He's always so gruff and hardcore.
And all that. And that's fine if that's who you are. But, you know, it's a part you play. You're an actor, and people like it. Deal with it. You know, in any case.
All right, so we're on to my number four?
You're number four.
My number four, okay, I'll just admit this up front. This isn't a great movie.
Doesn't have to be a great movie.
Well, it's not necessarily a great choice either, but when I was making this list, I thought, you know, I remember watching this movie a lot as a kid.
I think I know where you're going.
It's called Runaway.
I'm wrong.
Okay. Where'd you think I was going?
Forget it. I'll wait and see if you mention it.
Well, you remember Runaway.
Yeah.
it was from 1984.
What robot is in Runaway?
There's robots all over it.
Yeah, but they're not like... They're not sentient or anything like that. Aren't they just little, like, bug creatures or something?
There's robots all over that movie.
Fuck, I clearly do not. I mean, I know the movie,
they have that they have that robot housemaid.
I will verify that Bobby brushes his teeth. Excuse me.
So, that's Lois. With all those phone calls, I thought Lois was your wife.
Sometimes she thinks she is. Or my mother.
Do you have a wife?
She died.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Well, it was a couple years ago, car crash. But Lois is a big help.
What is she, a Series 10?
No, Series 12.
Ooh, Series 12s are much better.
Yeah, a lot of Series 10s were lemons.
My mother had a series 10 that kept burning all the toast. Started all these fires.
Well, Lois is pretty reliable.
Bobby is eating a chocolate bar. His dinner, too, was nutritionally inadequate.
What did you give him, Lois?
Hot dogs.
Lois, you can't keep giving him hot dogs.
It is all he would accept.
Did he do his homework?
Yes, he got an A in math today. Will your guest be staying for dinner?
Me?
Oh, you're welcome if you'd like.
You are welcome if you would like.
No, thank you.
Oh, it's no trouble, really.
It is no trouble, really.
Lois, I was talking to her.
Excuse me, Sergeant.
Well, actually, I better go.
You sure?
Yeah, thanks for the juice.
May I show you to the door?
Oh, that's okay, Lois. I can find my way.
Shit, I don't remember. There's a whole
his job is chasing down robots.
Okay, I thought he was more like robot pest control.
That's his job. Runaway. He chases down runaway robots. That's his job.
Are they humanoid? I mean, it's not like no. Tom Selleck. No. I know the movie, but I obviously
no. Remember. They're not, you know, mirrored after man.
Okay, all right. I was getting.
But neither is Vincent from The Black Hole.
Well, I know. I just. When you brought up Runaway, I just assumed there was something I was forgetting, like some sort of humanoid-ish or
no.
Whatever, some robot running around that's like killing people or something.
No.
That's what I... Okay, anyway.
That's Gene Simmons. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know Gene Simmons.
These aren't the templates, Ramsey. when I was looking this up, it was actually written and directed by Michael Crichton.
Really?
Yeah. Believe it or
that
not.
That I did not know.
I didn't know either. That caught me completely by surprise.
I remember that whole chase scene on the freeway with the...
Yeah, the robots.
The robot the bombs, robot. You know.
Yeah, they put it down the hole in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And stars Tom Selleck, and I forget who the female is.
Kirstie Alley.
Not Kirstie Alley.
Oh, his partner?
His partner.
Cute blonde.
I know her from something, but I can't remember off the top of my head who she is. Anyway, Runaway. Now, that's his job. He's a cop. Sort of. Mm-hmm. But he hunts down runaway robots.
Right.
And this is in the quote-unquote near future, you know, something like that. So it's a little laughable looking back on it now. But as a movie with robots, I thought it'd be kind of a fun choice because it's not something anybody would really think about.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on lists when I was...
Oh, you did see it? So you...
Yeah, I saw it mentioned many times. They actually mentioned, like, a certain type of robot or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of just zoomed by it because I was looking for something a little more self-aware or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of the robots in that qualify as that. That's why I didn't do it. But, I mean, that's fine. That's your choice. That's cool.
Well, there's a couple of cool scenes in that movie with...
I'm not saying there's not. I like the movie.
Tom Selleck, when he has to remove the bullet from his partner's arm. Remember that?
Is it a bomb?
It's an explosive bullet.
Yeah.
And he has to remove it from her arm. Excellent scene.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have much to say about that.
That's great. That's cool. I like your choice. Interesting. I like the movie. I would really like to rewatch it.
I would, too. I haven't seen it in
Unfortunately,
years.
It's not on DVD. It's...
That's sad. I wish
maybe
it was.
It is. I don't know. I don't think so, though.
I'd be surprised if it was. But you know. What's your next one?
Okay, so we're on to my number three. This is a movie I may have told you about. I think I told you about, but I'm pretty sure you have not seen. From 1981, it's called The Heart Beeps. The Heart
Beeps.
One word. The Heart Beeps.
I've never heard of this.
It is one weird freaking movie. It stars Andy Kaufman and Bernadette Peters. This is in the, like you say, you know, the quote-unquote near future. Robots are everywhere. You know, they're kind of just a thing of life. And Andy Kaufman and Bernadette Peters play, I want to say, androids. And they are, you can clearly look at them and see, you can tell that's Bernadette Peters or that's Andy Kaufman. But they, you know, added things to their face. You can tell they're supposed to be robots, if that makes any sense. You know, they're humanoid. You can tell who they are, but they look very much robotic.
I got it.
And they are, I think they're both some form of domestic robot. They're at a warehouse. I think they're maybe going to be sold or they're in for repairs or something like that. And they meet in this warehouse. They're just kind of sitting there. They're awake. And they just sit all day, you know, forever. And they meet. They start talking. And they fall in love. And they decide, we're getting out of here. So they go to break out of this warehouse. And along they come across this other robot, which is a much older robot. And it's very simple in its form. It's almost like a dome kind of a thing. It's just a very simple, you know, or obviously like a first generation kind of home robot kind of a thing. And they all go they're out, you know, and they're not, I guess they're not allowed to do that. Like, robots cannot go just wandering around. They're owned. And Randy Quaid and the guy who plays the bad guy in Dune, the Baron, they are the patrolmen or whatever that are security guards of this warehouse. And so they're off looking for them. Meanwhile, these robots are having their
Does this all take place in one day?
No, it takes place over a little bit of time. I forget where they're trying to go. I think they're trying to go somewhere because they are running low on power. And they have to find somewhere to power up. So they're kind of on their way. It's a journey. They're on their way from the warehouse to wherever it is they can power up. You know, it's kind of the place where robots can roam free. That kind of a thing.
All right.
But it's so fucking weird.
Phil, so there you are. Why didn't you respond? I repeat, explanation required.
Val, wait. Continual questioning could jam his delicate circuitry. Come on, Phil. It's all right.
Okay. Aqua? You know, I am concerned that Phil becomes lost very easily.
Yes, we cannot have our spare parts wandering off on their own.
Yes. I know. I will give him my bow tie direction finder.
Phil, won't you look handsome in Val's bow tie?
Now that you mention it, Phil, that's absolutely true.
I cannot rest. It is my duty to make the world safe for democracy.
It's not that weird, like weird. It's not weird like psychedelic weird. It's just like I remember. What? Like,
so
I remember,
you haven't seen this in a while.
No, I've seen it a couple years ago I saw it, but I remember just flipping channels, and I caught it right as it started. And I thought, what the fuck is this? I've never heard of this. Andy Kaufman's a robot? And I was just very curious.
Who's the woman?
Bernadette Peters. That's another reason. I was like, what? I've never heard of this. What in God's name is this?
Well, this sounds interesting, but
I got really caught up in it.
It sounds like something I should have heard of.
It's kind
of
like, I think it's a one-star movie, and obviously no one remembers this.
Is it bad, or is it...
It's...
Bad in a good way.
It's kind of a little bit of both. It had a lot of potential, but the characters are real. You get into it. You really start following, Val and Aqua are their names. And
all right,
it's really good. And of course, you know, it cuts back from them to the security guards who are just kind of really dumb and goofy, and they're trying not to lose their jobs. They're not bad guys.
It
they're
sounds
just
weird
over their heads. If you can find it, go rent it. It's just it's different. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It would definitely probably qualify if I actually owned it as a, you know, guilty pleasure. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's bad. It's just really different. But anyway, The Heart Beeps. Give it a shot.
Interesting title.
If you can even look it up and try it, even just get a look at what they look like, you're like, damn, that's interesting.
Well, you've made me curious about it because it sounds weird.
Yeah. Watch it drunk. So we're on to your...
Number three.
Okay.
My number three is Virtuosity.
I thought you might do it. So what is it, Sid? Is that his name?
Or Vincent? Russell Crowe plays Sid, 6.7.
6.7, okay.
Yeah. From 1995. I think this movie is really underrated.
He's a robot? Is that it?
He's a robot.
He's an android?
He was initially a computer program.
Like an AI? Okay.
Yeah, he was initially a computer program. He has been endowed with the personalities of various serial killers. He's initially just a program, and he is... the programmer has a friend, a colleague, who designs android shells or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they do that, and they put, accidentally, Sid 6.7 into the body of Russell Crowe.
I can't imagine how that accidentally happens.
He has a body, and he's just running around and
killing
people. And Denzel, who is a former police officer who's in prison, is sent to hunt him down because he has been trained to hunt down serial killers. Well, he's fought against Sid 6.7 in the computer in virtual reality.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I've seen it, but it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I think I've seen it a little more recently than you. So they bring him out of prison, offering him a pardon to hunt down Sid 6.7.
Right.
Open Sid 6.7. Combine. Looks like there's almost 200 different personality structures in this version. The battle raging inside him must be amazing.
Wait. Hold, slow that down right there. The name's there. Slow down.
You're not in here, Parker. If that's what you're worried about.
Right there. Matthew Grimes. Killed my wife and my daughter.
Look, it doesn't mean... He's not necessarily dominant, Parker. He may not even be emergent.
But he's in there, right? He's a part of Sid?
Yes.
And most of this movie is Russell Crowe. Right. This is probably one of the first things I ever saw.
This was kind of like his big... I mean, he had acted before.
He had been acting in movies for a while before that, but this was kind of his first American movie.
This is what brought him notoriety.
Brought him...
Real notoriety.
Yeah, brought him to North America.
Yeah.
And it's his charisma as Sid 6.7. And I like Russell Crowe anyway.
Quite a bit thinner in this movie.
Yeah, aside from what people will say about him in his personal life, whatever, I don't care. He is a fun actor to watch. He's very good. And he's very good in this role. He's just charismatic, but he's fucking crazy as hell. He is nuts. He's off his nut throughout the whole movie. He's doing it just to... for his own enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
He'll kill people without the slightest hesitation.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care at all. You know, his famous line in the movie is, "Hey, Parker, this one's for you."
Mm.
You know, and that is one of the traits of a murderer that killed Denzel Washington's wife and daughter. So it is personal for Denzel Washington in this case. But also, you know, like with Runway and Mystery Science Theater, these are just kind of oddball choices. Like, I didn't want to go with anything like C-3PO or
R2-D2. I intentionally avoided that.
Stuff that normally you would think of right off the bat.
Right.
And this is a movie I really do like.
Mm-hmm.
I own it. I like it. I've watched it.
Yeah, I've got it. It's just been a while. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. My number two is, and I know you're going to say I'm cheating here, but my number two is Tweaky from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
You are cheating.
No, I'm not. Because...
You and I said they made a TV movie.
No, it wasn't. The pilot episode, which was an hour and a half. Yeah. That was released theatrically.
Oh, it was.
So also was the first two-hour...
Was that girl in there hot or what?
Battlestar Galactica was released theatrically.
Did she wear that spandex?
Oh, no. Erin Gray.
Man, she was smoking hot.
Oh, man. But anyway, the pilots for both of those were released theatrically.
That's just a burn-in.
And if you'll notice, if you were... I have
my
both
thoughts
of them.
Don't mean anything to you, apparently.
No, I'm trying to tell you why this qualifies. Because they were both shot 16:9 and everything. They're not 4:3. Okay. That's why it qualifies. Erin Gray is smoking fucking hot.
Yeah.
Anyone who has any knowledge of this show knows that that's what George Lucas was referencing when he did Amidala in episode 2 when she put on her white outfit.
Yeah.
That was Erin Gray and Buck Rogers, and Natalie Portman looked gorgeous, don't get me wrong, but Erin Gray was, damn, she was tall, leggy, sexy and sultry in the whole deal. Oh God, I don't think there's any sci-fi nerd out there that, you know, doesn't spew at the thought of that.
She's quite gorgeous.
She is, and she's held up. She's a very attractive woman.
What's the name of the robot again?
Tweaky.
Tweaky.
Now, Tweaky is this, I don't know, 3.5...
He's kind of like the size of Webster.
Yeah, he's the size of a little person, but not, you know, thick. You know, he's kind of a slender-ish kind of robot. And he's kind of like there's a lot of these robots, you know, in the 25th century. And he's kind of like a personal robot. And he's Buck Rogers, you know...
Sidekick,
let's call him.
Comic relief, too.
He's definitely the comic relief. As you said, he goes... Bee.
Doesn't he say, like, my ball bearings are frozen?
Yeah, you know, he'll kind of just... He's voiced by Mel Blanc, who is a very distinct... This is the guy who did Bugs Bunny. So this is a very distinctive voice, and it's kind of synthesized and everything, but he'll be like, diggity, that's all, Buck.
Watch it, Buck.
Thank you, Tweaky.
Be a good drone, Tweaky, and place me on the table where I can get a good look at the captain while you get him some liquid refreshment.
Oh, sorry, I don't need any liquid refreshment.
Of course you do. You're extremely dehydrated from your ordeal, Buck. If I may call you Buck.
He's always throwing out this shit. Okay. But he looks really cool. He's all silver. He's got...
I remember his design.
He's got a really simple face and kind of a helmet that's almost like a Darth Vader-ish kind of helmet.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But he also... What makes him doubly cool is he is the physical transporter of Dr. Theopolis. Dr. Theopolis is this sentient AI, basically the size of a pie dish kind of a thing. It's this circle computer, you know, that, you know, it's the size of a small pizza, whatever. And Tweaky will carry him around his neck and hang from his neck. And it's
that.
this light board, basically, but he's a doctor. He's extremely intelligent and all of that. And for some reason, Tweaky takes him around a lot. Dr. Theopolis is kind of like on the council of doctor circle things.
Okay.
Whatever they are. All I don't know how to describe that. But in either case, you put them together, and it's the straight man and the serious one, and they're kind of like bickering a lot. He'll be like, Buck, we cannot do this. This will get you killed. And Tweaker will be like, he's going to do it, I think. And
it's kind of like C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah, almost compacted into this little thing. It's really cool. Tweaky's awesome. I don't even know how to describe him
It's been so long since I've seen Buck Rogers.
Tweaky still holds up. The 70s antics of that show do not hold up whatsoever. However, Gil Gerard as Buck, that dude owns. He was so charismatic. He was kind of like he was kind of like Han Solo for the small screen. I mean, that's what Han Solo was based on, was Buck Rogers. So, I mean, they're the same character. And Tweaky is just, it's kind of like you said, he's kind of like R2 and C-3PO bundled into a 3-foot package. It's really cool. It's R2-D2 if he had arms and legs is what Tweaky is.
Okay.
It's kind of cool. Anyway, all right, I'm done. That's, what's your two?
That's one I definitely wouldn't have thought of.
Only because I had that out, because they did release it theatrically.
My number two, well, you know, not a great choice, but I like the fact that we're able to talk about this movie. Space Camp.
Oh, damn. Jinx. I wish I thought of that.
France forever.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
NASA needs help. Yeah.
I remember the scene where Jinx has to go in there and trick the NASA computer to let them go up.
Yeah.
And he wants to get Max into space.
Yeah. You know, thermal curtain failure.
Thermal curtain failure. Yeah.
Thermal curtain failure possibilities once every 100 billion years.
Max that is unacceptable. That long. Yeah, Max won't live that long. Max and Jinx.
Yeah, I was thrilled. I was like, cool, we get to talk about Space Camp. I mean, his screen time isn't that large.
Not really, but he really leaves an impact.
Well, he is the... he's what gets them into space. It's his friendship with Max.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's describe what he looks like.
Okay, well, Jinx is about the... His center is a ball. It's about...
His center is about the size of a big beach ball.
Yeah, basically. And he has four legs coming, retracting from the beach ball.
Yeah, and not legs like human legs. No. It's almost like spider legs.
It's kind of like the legs of a chair, almost.
Yeah, basically. You know?
Like a chair on wheels, kind of like that. And he has a little head that...
Pops up
out of the ball. It's not that big. It's
almost like a video camera head kind of that pops.
Yeah, or like a one of those
old things. Style cameras.
Yeah, like one of those Viewmasters.
Yeah, something like that.
About that size.
But yeah, it just pops out of the top.
Yeah, and you know, he has a very, you know, electronic sounding voice, and he's kind of the comic relief almost. He's goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's just the crux of the story to get them in. He's not much of a character, and he's, you know, as you get older, he's kind of annoying, but when you watch it as a kid, he's very endearing.
But he's all heart.
I mean, he's not annoying like Jar Jar Binks.
Right.
I mean, he's supposed to endear us.
But keep in mind, he saves them in the end, too. He gets them up and he gets them down. He's the one that heard Morse code.
He's the one who hears the Morse code.
And that's a great scene.
Yeah.
I love that scene. Really,
C-O-M-E-I-N. Common control.
Jinx wants Max to space. Jinx can get Max back.
How'd you know about Max, Jinx?
Jinx and Max friends forever.
Jesus Christ.
Get that thing out of here. Get secured.
Wait a minute.
Maybe you can help us, unless you got a better idea.
Yo! Mom!
Wait a minute! Jinx, how can you help NASA?
D-O-M-E-I-N-C-O-M-E-R-O.
Take it out of here, get it out.
D-O-M-E-I-N-C-O-M, come in control. Max's code.
Morse code.
Max's code.
Damn, they're talking to us! We got Morse code. Jack, get over here, translate this. Jinx, I'm treating you to a can of oil.
When they start, when they're trying to escort him out of mission control,
yeah,
he blocks his arms out with his arms.
Yeah.
And John Williams did the music for Space Camp.
Yeah.
And the music starts building, and it is good music. And you see Tom Skerritt start to kind of like figure it out. And it's just awesome. It's very rousing. And
it is a very rousing moment. I love that moment in the movie. It's one of my favorite moments.
It is a great moment.
Particularly because of the music, because John Williams is so good.
Yeah, I know. Oh, damn, I wish I thought of that.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Totally didn't. Gosh, just like...
Well, we both love Space Camp, and I'm glad we had a chance to finally talk about it. Space Camp is a childhood favorite of ours that has stuck with us.
By bringing that up, you just brought up what? Another movie that I totally forgot.
It has stuck with us through the years, and we still love it today.
Right.
It hasn't really lost anything.
No, not at all. It holds up tremendously.
I think it's a fun movie, and you have to,
suspend disbelief.
Yeah, you have to suspend your disbelief.
Because, this movie takes place in the... It was made in the 80s. It takes place in the 80s.
Unfortunately, the movie got buried because of its release time.
Well, not just that, but, as far as Jinx is concerned, you have to suspend disbelief that he is supposed to have been constructed by NASA for whatever purpose, and he's this artificial life form, and you're like, oh, we can't even do that now.
That was my number two.
All right, excellent choice. Okay, my number one is... Daryl. Was this your number one?
Yeah.
I knew it, damn it. I just knew it. I knew we were going to run into Daryl.
Okay, can I do the acronym?
Go ahead.
Daryl stands for Data Analyzing Youth Robot Lifeform.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we ran into this together on the same one, so we can just talk about it. Let's talk about Daryl. Daryl is a great forgotten movie.
It is, yeah.
Daryl.
Played by Bastion.
Played by Bastion Barrett Oliver.
Yeah,
this
Barrett
is...
Oliver.
The story of a robot built in the form of a boy.
12-year-old boy.
Let's say 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Clearly a sentient, feeling robot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not aware that he's a robot.
An amnesiac robot.
And he ends up in a youth center, and he has to be fostered out to a foster family. And, of course, he is a robot, so he can do a lot of spectacular things.
Yeah, he gets taken in by this family.
Yeah, a very loving family.
Father is Michael McKean.
Michael McKean. And they live next door to another family who has a boy about the same age as Daryl.
And they become friends.
They become friends. And, this next door boy is kind of a redhead, surly, good kid. But,
He's just rambunctious.
Yeah, he just kind of starts teaching Daryl life because Daryl's kind of...
They start to bond. His childhood friend becomes his... teacher in a lot of sense.
Although he doesn't realize he's teaching him about humanity, because he does not know that Daryl's a robot.
No, not yet.
And I think this movie kind of taps in the character and the movie tap into something that a lot of adolescents that are into this kind of stuff kind of fantasize about, like, what if I was a robot? So this movie is just spoke to us because we were that age when we saw this.
Yeah.
So we were equals. And of course, the company or whatever it is find Daryl and bring him back.
The military is after him.
The military. Yeah. They bring him back to this facility.
Because the military wants to take Daryl.
Yeah, because the designers don't want to.
Yeah, they want to turn him into a weapon, of course.
Yeah, naturally.
But the designers don't want that to happen, so that's why they kind of shuffled him away. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting amnesia.
But of course, at the end of the movie... Daryl escapes from this facility.
Has that brilliant sequence on when he steals the
SR-71. SR-71.
It's awesome seeing a kid in the cockpit
and yet
of an
it's
SR-71.
Absolutely believable.
Of course it is.
Because watching the movie that it's not actually a 9-year-old or 10-year-old. It's a robot. So you're like, well, he could do it then.
Yeah.
He's a mystery and a miracle.
He's just a little boy, flesh and blood, isn't he?
with a past he doesn't remember.
Daryl is an experiment in artificial intelligence.
Are you really my mom and dad?
And powers he doesn't understand.
You're now saying it can feel human emotion.
Yes. He experiences pleasure and pain.
The government designed him.
You're asking us to destroy a child.
Now, they want him destroyed.
The Youth Life Form Project as of now is terminated.
Paramount Pictures presents... Daryl.
Damn it, Major, if it was a proper roadblock, nobody should have crashed it.
It's okay, I've done it before.
These two must be caught or killed.
We have no right to destroy it.
Aboard!
Daryl, where are you?
You're going to shoot it down?
10, 9.
Stop! Please!
6, 5.
It's only human to make mistakes, but Daryl never does.
Great movie.
It is.
It really is
kind of a hidden gem.
Yeah, and don't be deceived. It's not like he walks around acting, I am a robot. It's not like that at all. Because like I said, he's not even aware he's a robot. He can kind of do these things, but he really doesn't assign any extra reason to it. You know, he just kind of, sure, I can hit that ball. Why not? Can't you? You know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't find it any more interesting than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, it's very endearing, you know, because you see him grow.
Yeah.
And the family he's been put up with falls in love with him, and he falls in love with the family in return.
Right.
And it's a very warming thing
to watch. I would very much like to watch it again.
Right. I was wanting to do that myself.
Do you have it?
No. It's been so long since I've seen it, though. But it is good.
It is
really good. Yeah. And, like, it was my number one.
I had a feeling it might be. That's why I saved it, too, because I thought if you're going to put it on the list, it's going to be number one. So I just wanted to throw out a couple honorable mentions.
Well, I have a slew of honorable mentions. So go ahead.
Obviously, and I'm thinking probably for the same reason, you avoided Johnny Five just like I avoided Johnny Five from Short Circuit. He's fucking brilliant. Brilliant. What else can you say? He's awesome.
He was the robot of his time.
He's still the robot. Because he's not CG, he holds up. Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet.
Yeah,
kind of like the granddaddy of robots.
Sure.
And RoboCop. Kind of a,
surprised he didn't do that one.
Too obvious. I wanted to stay away from it.
Yeah, he's kind of he's a cyborg.
Andrew from Bicentennial Man.
I thought about it.
The Iron Giant. I really thought I might actually do that as one of the five. And HAL 9000.
Yeah, like with Short Circuit, that's just the number one on every list.
Yeah, so I kind of avoided it. But don't think I didn't mention because I don't think it's great. It was just too obvious.
I'll run down mine.
Do you have ones that are different?
I have a whole bunch of honorable mentions.
Give me.
Electric Dreams.
Oh, all right. What's he called in Electric Dreams?
Edgar. I also had 2001. I also had Bicentennial Man. Flight of the Navigator.
I thought, that when you brought up... what was the other one you did?
Space Camp?
Space Camp. When you brought up Space Camp, that made me think of Navigator. Okay. I thought, how could I have missed Max? How easy was that?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, I thought about that.
iRobot. I also had Making Mr. Right. Millennium.
Millennium, I thought about him, but I forgot. What was his name? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
The Butler Robot?
Yeah, I can't remember.
This is not the end.
But the end of the beginning. I also had Short Circuit.
Yeah.
T2.
Mm-hmm.
Tron.
What, the MCP?
They're all computer programs.
Oh, come on.
What?
Yes, technically they're...
It's AI. It's artificial intelligence. You didn't say it had to be in the shape of a box on wheels or a person.
I guess. I guess just the fact that it's like Bruce Boxleitner.
HAL? What is HAL, for Christ's sake? He's a little light bulb.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it kind of like didn't even enter in my consciousness.
They're all computer programs.
I understand. You're right. They are. I don't think of them that way because they're being played by humans and all that.
Okay.
But you're right. I just don't even think about it.
WALL-E?
Yeah, too easy.
And War Games.
What, the...
Joshua.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, War Games would have been an excellent replacement.
Joshua, that was a good one. I would never have thought about that either.
But, you know, there isn't much to him. There wouldn't have been a whole lot to talk about. But
yeah,
it is. It would have been an interesting choice.
It would have been. It is. I mean, even as an honorable mention, it's interesting. All right, well, that wraps us up. I'm Justin, and we'll talk to you next time.
I'm Josh. Thanks for listening.